Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the human consciousness. We'd like to take a deeper look into it. Be with us. It's going to be really interesting. Nitza, please. Yeah, the study of the consciousness is a very interesting topic, and it has developed only in recent years in science. Meaning, if up until a few years ago, the study of consciousness was more related to philosophy and different beliefs. About 30 years ago, science started studying the consciousness. How? Meaning, it raises a certain assumption that in the human mind there are neurons, and they, between them, create different kinds of connections, interactions, and these interactions of theirs create this phenomenon called the human consciousness. I'll just say that the human consciousness is a part of our aware experience, meaning the way a person experiences reality and himself, and himself as something separate from everything that's outside of him. There's also the matter of a subjective experience, meaning we can all be in the same space. We could share a certain experience that could be filmed by a camera in a very objective way, but still each of us will experience it in a very subjective way. It's, of course, also related to the perception of reality, the ability to perceive reality and understand and decipher it, meaning it's a very broad field. And therefore, by the way, there isn't some one definition for what the consciousness is, and each researcher gives it a bit of a different definition. And today, we'd like to talk about this. It's really interesting, and we'd like to hear what does the wisdom of Kabbalah have to say about this concept of human consciousness? How would it define it? Human consciousness does not exist. As simple as that. Because what we imagine about ourselves and the world is completely incorrect. We don't know how we perceive reality. It seems to us that reality exists outside of us. And this is something that we're wrong about from the very start. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that everything that we feel inside ourselves and only. And even though that we have this kind of illusion, imagination, that we're living in a big, broad world, and around me there's the still vegetative, animate, and people, and there's the universe and stars and everything, all this exists only in my mind, only inside my own mind, inside my inner awareness. And there's nothing outside of it. A person lives inside himself, truly so. And therefore, all of these speculations, and maybe it's kind of a crude word, but it's most suitable and precise, because where we are and who we are, it's no more than speculations, because we can never see or feel reality outside of the person that's feeling it. And therefore, I can't say that this is the objective reality and this is my subjective reality. Therefore, if so, there's nothing to talk about. Either we accept what human beings and science says, or we can accept what the wisdom of Kabbalah says. You just said that everything exists only inside a person's mind, and there's nothing besides that. How would you define this inner awareness of a person that exists in a person's mind? The inner awareness, true inner awareness, that is perceived inside a person's desire, which is his entire being, and it's the only thing that exists. And therefore, a person can't say that something exists besides me. I can just say one thing. Probably I exist because this is how I feel myself. And besides existing, besides that I exist, I also feel what's going on inside of me. Because all of my senses work inside of me. When I see something, I see it inside of me. When I hear, I also hear it inside of me. Our senses, hearing, sight, smell, taste, touch, all of these five senses are my five senses. And therefore, I can talk only about them and about what I perceive in them. Are there other created beings besides myself? I don't know. I perceive that there are such outside of me, but it's all my perception. And I can't depict that they exist outside of me because I can't send my sense outwards and see it outside of my brain, outside of myself. I can't because outside of myself, I don't know what exists. The entire reality is inside of me. Okay, so from this point and on, let's advance. We won't go back to this because everything that a person perceives is inside his own awareness. Yeah, but who perceives it? The person who perceives that besides him, there doesn't exist anything else. Okay, this I understand. Now I want to zoom into the person himself. You said that what a person grasps is in his inner awareness. What is this thing called inner awareness? It's a person's inner perception of reality, which is the desire to receive, that the way he feels himself, he depicts his reality, meaning that the entire reality is inside a person's desire to receive. Only if you can define what the desire or the will to receive is, the desire to receive pleasure. So I'll repeat the question again. What is a person's inner awareness? A person's inner awareness or consciousness is that nothing exists besides that which exists in my will to receive. Only that which exists in my desire to receive pleasure exists? Yes. So I, as a human being, have the desire to receive pleasure. How can you define it? The desire to receive pleasure. To enjoy what? Anything that I think that I can enjoy. Okay, this I understand. I have this desire to enjoy everything that I can, and what does it have to do with my inner consciousness, awareness? It builds it? Yeah, it builds it. It consists of these different desires of mine to receive pleasure and how much I enjoy each and every desire, or to the contrary, maybe I'm not enjoying, but I'm suffering actually. And all this forms a field of pleasure and suffering in me, and they give me the feeling of the world that I exist in. And how is this related to my inner consciousness? This is the consciousness, the awareness itself. This field, yeah, this is what we call neurons. We can call it brain nerves, brain cells. So the desire precedes the consciousness, meaning our desire creates our inner consciousness. Can we say that? Our desire, in and of itself, doesn't create any inner consciousness, but what I feel inside this desire, so the feeling inside the desire, or in the language of Kabbalah, we can say the fulfillment inside this desire, gives me my inner consciousness. Okay, if so, then where does it actually exist inside of me as a human being? If we said that maybe it exists in the brain. I don't know what you mean by brain. This is what we say, but I also perceive myself as if I exist in a body, but it's all only as if. It's an imagination. Just like I see you, I see myself. But it's all the accumulation of different impressions that this is how I depict these different forms. So this desire in which I feel the inner consciousness, it exists in all of me or no. There's no, in all of me, part of me, there's no body. There's no body, there's no space. But simply, it's the desire itself. But it's present inside a person, but there's no man inside which there's the desire. What is there then? A desire. It's the only thing that exists, like a field, like a force field. So how is this desire related to my brain? Is there a connection? No, no. Inside this desire, there are different definitions that we can give it, that a part of it we can define as the brain, a part of it we can define as our senses, part of it we can define as the external world, the inner world, but it's all inside the desire and only, meaning it's completely unrelated to my body. Let's maybe depict this picture differently. The only thing that exists is the desire. A desire without space, distance, anything. And in this desire, everything exists. With different changes, fluctuations inside the desire. And this is actually the only thing that exists. This is the only existing thing. So what we imagine as human beings or the still, the vegetative, the animate, nature, galaxies, these are all things that this is how we depict them in our will to receive. Also ourselves. There's just one such desire, just one. Meaning that all of us, all human beings, the still, vegetative, everything, all the worlds, all the galaxies of our world, everything exists inside one desire. What desire? The desire to receive pleasure. The desire to receive, as it's called in the wisdom of Kabbalah. So this is the general field of reality. Yeah. And what happens there is called reality. So there's the desire, general desire to receive pleasure, kind of comprehensive, yeah, that comprises this field that's called reality. Yeah. Inside this field, suppose that I am born today. Inside this field operates a force that is higher than this field, than this desire, which is called the Creator, because He has created this desire. Okay, suppose I was born today. But who says that? Who attains what you just said? Your parents, suppose, your neighbors. Okay, now in 2 years, maybe I too will start perceiving reality. Yeah, in 5, 10, 20, 50 years and so on until I finish this round. Now, I want to understand how does my inner awareness or consciousness, how does it develop? What point does it start developing from? From what point can you say about a person? Maybe it's before birth, maybe from a certain age. When does a person's inner consciousness start developing? Very simple. Just like we grow in a petri dish in laboratories, suppose, different, and chemistry, biology. This is how a person's born. When? What do you mean when? Inside the desire, there are different processes. And these processes, they start as a result of the previous development, getting kind of a, as if personal awareness, and they already exist as a body, body meaning that consists of that desire, where a few desires come together into a certain entity of desires. And these desires are called Oren. Okay, now I want to ask about Oren. Oren starts perceiving in this component that you previously called the inner consciousness, when he's an embryo, does he already have an inner consciousness? Yes. Since when does an embryo have an inner consciousness awareness? From the point that he, how to put this, from that point where these two systems of plus and minus come together, call them mother and father, so in the 9 month of pregnancy, no, before that, from the point that the seed cells connect, you can put it that way, but it's not the human seed, but in this field in which connects the will to receive, which is the desire, and the light that has created the desire, when they come together, and as a result, the desire starts developing more and more. So again, an embryo in his mother's womb has an inner consciousness already? Yes. Since when? Since the creation of a single cell. Yeah, of course. But you can't examine that. That's why I'm asking. Yeah, because we're used to that even when he's born. I understand. You're saying immediately, from the very beginning of his creation, an inner awareness is developed in him. The light works on the will to receive. That's it. The will to receive has an inner awareness, consciousness. Okay, the baby's born. What do you mean, born? It's the degrees of the development of the desire. It's not like we see a baby born coming out of his mother. I want to ask about the created being with his inner developing consciousness. Suppose a baby's born. When will he start developing this inner component that you called inner consciousness? According to the wisdom of Kabbalah? Yeah. When he'll start acknowledging his progenitors. Again, please. He has the upper force above him that has formed him, gave birth to him, constantly takes care of him, develops him. When he begins to develop himself in order to acknowledge his progenitors, these two forces, the positive and the negative, that connect in him and constantly develop him, when he starts acknowledging them, attaining them, it's called that he has reached his consciousness, his awareness. Okay, and until then, he perceives the world, the still vegetative, the animate, and so on, in his inner awareness? Yeah, he has that. Okay, so going back a bit, when does this perception start developing in him that there is him, and that he's in a reality in which there is the still vegetative and animate? From what age does that awareness start developing? From zero. Okay, so I see that both the embryo and after he's born, it's developing all the time. It depends on his consciousness, awareness, but he has these givens. Okay, so the thing is that this data exists, but only that in a person's development, the more he grows, the more data he perceives, as if the data becomes revealed to him. It even says so in the Zohar, that a person sees that he began his development in the depth of nature. I'll find it. It's written beautifully. Okay, up until now, we defined what the consciousness is, and you said that it's something that exists only inside a person, and it develops in quantity and quality. Now, to this, I want to add several more concepts. Where in relation to this inner consciousness is the mind and the emotions? This is already a result. How does that work? The more I attain my progenitors, when you say attaining my progenitors, you're talking about the development of a person's inner spiritual consciousness? No. So what does it mean to attain my progenitors? There's a problem here. I understand. So I asked, how are the mind and the emotions related to a person's inner consciousness? You're talking about a person in this world. Yeah. So I have to go down a bit. So the question of when does an embryo become a baby and the baby grows and his inner awareness develops, and to that add the mind and the emotions. What are they in relation to this consciousness? The mind and the emotions, are there from the days born, suppose. He already has a mind and emotions. Okay, I understand. Prick him. He'll cry. So, okay, now, time goes by and it develops. So it says about it, 2 years, 6 years, 9 years, 13 years. Okay, but can you define in relation to that inner awareness or consciousness? You started by saying that the inner consciousness of a person that feels reality is the sum total of all the experiences that he accumulates in his desire from what he receives pleasure or suffers in life. This depicts his inner consciousness. Where is the mind and the emotions in this? The mind and the emotions are the consciousness. They themselves, the mind and the emotions, are the consciousness. That's all there is. Can you explain? A person's entire consciousness consists of the mind, intellect, and emotions. And how are they related? They're related, connected all the time. According to what law? Because this the mind and this the heart. And what does each of them do? And then each of them supplements the other until they completely understand each other, this being the complete development. I want to ask about the experience itself, the way a person experiences himself. There's this process of inner development, the person develops, suppose, and in his experience, he starts developing what, his intellect and his emotions? The emotions develop the intellect, the mind, and only. Because again, the desire to receive pleasure, as it's called in the wisdom of Kabbalah, the desire to receive, the desire, it's the foundation of creation. What influences this desire is either a positive or negative force. And as a result, the desire develops from both of them. There can't be the one without the other. First, it has to lack something, and then you can fulfill it. When it's fulfilled, it's made sure that it'll lack some more, that it'll want something. And this way, all the time, the plus and minus work on the desire to receive pleasure and create emotions. Yes. Where's the mind here? Just a second. Now, when I've developed the will to receive a bit, and it knows that this is good and this is bad, and now I don't give it good, and I give or don't give it bad, it starts searching. The desire starts developing itself, and then it develops the mind to achieve what it wants. And then the mind, the intellect, develops next to the desire, meaning the mind is only like a computer. It's the means by which to attain the desire. Now, because our show is almost over, the more I want, the bigger the brain I have. If you'll make it so that your child won't want anything, you'll give him, he won't develop, his mind won't develop, because he doesn't need anything, so obviously. Now, because our show is almost up, I want to start to wrap it up, to get a general picture. Our topic was the research of the consciousness. What is the thing, the main thing that I should take from this show? I don't know what your goal is. I want to know how to research the consciousness only by using the desire. That if I change the desire in a positive or negative direction, and as a result of that, I examine what are the results in the mind, in the consciousness, then I can research the consciousness, but not that I can research the consciousness itself. I have no access to that, because it, in and of itself, doesn't exist. It always exists only based on the emotion, where the emotion itself is based on lack. And it's very simple. This is how all cells developed, from the most primitive ones to more complex, from these two elements, or gas, suppose, helium, and oxygen, for example. So everything developed, all the atoms and everything, everything from the connection of plus and minus and plus and minus, until they've developed into living cells, and from living cells into life, everything from lack. And then it reaches the mind and the consciousness, as you say. Last question. Today, in the field of the research of consciousness, there are different methods that are being developed as of how to deal with a person's consciousness. Why? What's missing? There are different people that experience different things in life, many times traumatic, and they're trying to develop different methods in order to help people. Were I to ask you, Dr. Lightman, what one advice can you give me in order to take this thing called a person's inner consciousness and bring it to the best possible place for a person to experience the best possible life? One piece of advice. This person has to consist of the biggest possible lack, desire that can be in reality, from all the different desires, the still, vegetative, animate, people, the stars, everything. A very big empty desire. You understand what kind of suffering that is, what kind of problem this is, and along with it, the fulfillment that has to fill this desire, that's standing outside of the desire, that doesn't fill it. It doesn't fill it. And that this fulfillment stands vis-a-vis the desire. And if a person consists of these two things and he starts connecting them in such a way in order to understand what's the connection and the relation between the great big desire and the fulfillment without one filling the other, then he will develop a divine mind, the biggest possible one, and will understand and will achieve complete consciousness. But God forbid he should not fulfill that desire. Once he fills it, he plugs it. Yeah? Why actually? Because then, to the same extent, he no longer wants. So the entire idea is, meaning we have to examine, what is actually going on here? What kind of method is the wisdom of Kabbalah bringing us for the attainment of the correct awareness, consciousness? The desire is never filled. There is a restriction on it. And the light never fills the desire, the fulfillment, but it's only above it. And this is how they exist. And therefore, there is a true and complete consciousness. Dr. Lightman, thank you very, very much. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.